Welcome back, viewers, to our series of podcasts and video recordings like snippets on some of the interesting topics on law. Today, we are going to discuss law around without prejudice privilege and its implications, during the disputes and pre-dispute stage. So, straight away going into the topic, I have my colleague Shweta Sahu. She is a senior leader and based out of our Delhi office. She is part of our international litigation and dispute resolution team and does a lot of cross-border litigations in courts and before arbitration tribunals. So Shweta, my first question to you can you just briefly tell what exactly is this without prejudice privilege?
Thank you, Vyapak. So we come across this term very often as to without prejudice privilege. A lot of correspondences and emails, letters are marked with without prejudice. Now, this privilege essentially comes into picture when there are two parties who have entered into a who have incurred a dispute and they're entering into negotiations or settlement talks. And then they are trying to settle the matter. There are certain correspondences which are exchanged between them. And these correspondences are usually marked without prejudice. And these are protected from being disclosed or being admissible as evidence in court. And it is not open for one of the parties to give evidence of an admission made by another. Now, this stems from a very basic public policy element. Since parties are encouraged to enter into candid discussions rather than litigate, to help parties candidly discuss what their rights or obligations would be and what one would be liable to pay to the other. So this is the public policy element which is based on which the without prejudice privilege is based. And the Indian law statutorily also recognizes this under Section 23 of the Indian Evidence Act, which makes such privileged documents inadmissible as evidence.
So then how is this different from client attorney privilege? And also, very curiously, a lot of correspondence exchanged between the parties reserve their rights at the end and say this is without prejudice to their rights under law and facts. How is this without prejudice privilege different from those two concepts?
So like we were discussing, Yapak, in our last session or when we were discussing client attorney privilege, it is a correspondence which happens between a lawyer and the client. So there is, but without prejudice privilege is basically a correspondence between two parties. So it's not a lawyer to client, it's a client to client conversation or lawyer to lawyer conversation. And over here, like in case of waivers, if we have to discuss, case of client attorney privilege, it's the client's prerogative whether he wants to waive that privilege or not. But in case of without prejudice privilege, because it's a correspondence between two parties at stake, a unilateral waiver cannot really take place. Both the parties have to agree to it. So that is broadly the difference between both the kinds of privileges. And the reference that you made to the parties mentioning without prejudice to our rights and rights under law, etc., in a concluding part of a letter. Now, that is basically not a privilege sort of a situation. It is just to say that if I'm writing it's without prejudice to my rights under law, I'm just saying it's without prejudice to my rights under law, contract, equity, or facts. And I am just making an offer, but I'm reserving my rights, which are available to me otherwise. So it's not a privilege sort of a situation that we're discussing in that case.
So then, it's very interesting because just mentioning at the end of the letter that it is without prejudice to your rights under law may not protect that document as privileged. So is it necessary to actually title the document as without prejudice? Is there any jurisprudence on this?
Yeah, so we have a few judgments in India from which we can derive this understanding. But even otherwise, it's generally also under the English law, it's settled that you don't necessarily have to mention without prejudice to claim this privilege. This is similar to what we were discussing in case of our client attorney privilege discussions. Now, while it is not necessary to document this and specifically mention, Also, if you just do not mention, it doesn't take away the status or the privilege which a document would otherwise have. Now, there is the Supreme Court judgment, Peacock Private Limited versus Oriental Insurance, 2006 judgment. Now, this was also upheld in that judgment. Like any kind of correspondence, for example, which has been prepared internally and it has not been even shared with the other side, merely I'm marking without prejudice privilege, it doesn't come to me automatically because it hasn't even been exchanged with the other side in the first place. So it's not really mandatory to specify without prejudice for reading such a privilege.
So what are the circumstances where documents protected under the without prejudice rule can be admitted in evidence? Because that was the original idea of, you know, making it outside the scope of evidence. But are there any circumstances that those can also go into evidence?
Yeah, so there are a few exceptions where this privilege can be waived. The one is expressly by the parties when they both want to waive this privilege. Even otherwise, say, for example, if there is a dispute or there's an issue as to the interpretation of the settlement agreement, then parties may refer to the negotiations which have happened, the correspondences which have happened, which led to that agreement that can be made admissible in a court of law. Even otherwise, say, for example, the court doesn't necessarily have to get into the merits of a correspondence, but the mere fact that parties really exchange 10 emails or 20 emails to arrive at a settlement. So this can also be made part as an evidence before court. Or also in cases of allegations against an agreement, that the agreement itself should be set aside on the ground of, say, misrepresentation, fraud, undue influence, etc. So the documentary evidence of negotiations prior to such an agreement may indeed be admissible before court.
So thanks a lot, Shweta, for giving such a, you know, deep insight on a topic which is sometimes misinterpreted or, you know, misused or not well understood. So thanks a lot for your expertise on this, and we look forward to more of your comments on different topics in the future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.